Lars Anderson is a plant physiologist who specialized in aquatic weeds. He recently retired from a multi-decade career with the U.S. Agricultural Research Service. His home base was the UC Davis, where he led efforts throughout California to slow or halt the spread and negative impacts of aquatic invasive weeds. In his retirement, Anderson continues to be involved with efforts to stop aquatic invasive weeds in Lake Tahoe.
Welcome, Lars Anderson, to this Tahoe Project interview.
Thank you.
Great to have you here today. Now, you have recently retired from a long and storied career. Can you tell us a little bit about what you've been doing for the last several decades?
Sure. Well, it's been over 35 years. Yeah, I've been with the U.S. Department of Agriculture within the Agricultural Research Service of that agency, and our focus of the research has been on invasive aquatic plants and riparian plants over that time. And it's really been interesting to me because there's always something new. Unfortunately, there's always seems to be new invasive plants coming into California and to other states as well. But it began with the first two-year stint with EPA in Washington, D.C. And then because there were no research positions, I took the first one that came up, which was in Denver, at an aquatic weed lab in Denver, of all places. And the reason it was there is because there's so much surface irrigation that goes on, and these plants grow in the irrigation canals and block the flow. And so I was there 4 years and then moved to Davis, California, where we have a USDA ARS aquatic weed lab, where I was research leader there for about 20 years. So it's been a very interesting career, and it's taken me to Brazil and to Australia and various places, because everybody seems to have a problem with aquatic plants.
And we've been fortunate to have your expertise here in Lake Tahoe. How did your current projects in Lake Tahoe begin? Were you approached to work here? Or?
Yeah, it's pretty interesting. This is back in 1994, actually. I have a colleague who actually has a business in managing aquatic plants. And he suggested to the Tahoe Keys managers at that time that I should come up and take a look at their aquatic weed problem that they were at that time just harvesting it pretty much. This was they didn't know it, but they had Eurasian water milfoil, a very widespread exotic. So I came up then and did a quick survey within the Keys and right away saw that they had a massive problem. And then I asked them if they had ever done a lakewide survey, and they were not aware of anyone who'd done that. So within a couple of months, we came up with our crew from Davis and did a full lake survey, looking for aquatic plants along the shoreline. And sure enough, we found Eurasian water milfoil in a half a dozen spots. And that kind of started the whole process back in 1994-95. And the development of the management since then has pretty much taken its starts and stops. But probably in 2007 was the most important period because we had a workshop up here in Tahoe. And we had over 100, 150 people who are the stakeholders at Tahoe. And they were very concerned about the plants. And we brought in folks from all over the U.S. to talk about management methods and how that could be done and how you could collaborate and get things done at Lake Tahoe. And that kind of started the main activity that began in 2007.
So just a couple of points of clarification about things that you've mentioned. So you mentioned Eurasian water milfoil, and when you say generically plants, you've referenced a few times, you're talking about non-native species, plant species that are in Tahoe per your survey, and Eurasian water milfoil. Can you just give us a little bit, what is Eurasian water milfoil, and why is it an issue any more than a native plant?
Yeah, that's a good question. Well, the scientific name is Myriophyllum spicatum. Myrios just means it's got lots and lots of leaflets on it. That's the main the derivation of that name. But it's a plant that's native to Europe and Asia, as the name would imply. Probably has been in the United States certainly since the early 1900s. There are herbarium records. And it had started pretty much in the Midwest of the U.S. to begin with as a problem, and has simply spread into almost every state that we have. And it's just a very rapid-growing plant, and it produces seed, which gets spread around by waterfowl. The fragments of the plant cause it to spread very easily when boats run over it. So it's got a, it has all these characteristics that are quite typical of very rapidly invading plant species. So as a consequence, it has spread pretty much all over the U.S. But Tahoe is a little unique because there's a lot of areas that it hadn't come into when I did the surveys up here to start with. So we're very concerned that it was going to spread into these uninfested areas.
And what does it do when it spreads into an area? Is it just a plant that is there growing in the water? Or can you give us, for those of us sure. who haven't seen water milfoil, a kind of a visual on why pursue it to such an extent?
Well, it's an attractive plant. However, it grows in a very dense population, so it blocks out and excludes native plants that would normally be there. It also causes changes in the water chemistry and water temperature because it acts as a kind of an insulator when it produces a huge mat of plants. It can grow down to 20 or 30 feet in some lakes. And it also affects the kinds of fish that hang out in those populations of plants. Most of the non-native warm water fish tend to prefer Eurasian water milfoil or other non-natives that form this dense population compared to native plants that have much more open structure that the fish can go in and out of. So it has a lot of detrimental characteristics. It even gets into canals and blocks the water for irrigation. And it has a very wide range of temperature tolerance, from Tahoe, where it obviously freezes over in the wintertime, to the Imperial Valley, where the water temperature can get up into the 90 degrees Fahrenheit, and that still makes it there.
Mm-hmm. So you described it as a large mat of plants. That doesn't sound particularly nice to swim in.
No, and there have been some deaths associated with the original water milfoil where kids get entangled in it. And, you know, and sometimes when you're swimming and you get entangled, it causes a panic response as well. So there have been some deaths. Certainly it affects fisheries and waterfowl as well. But for boaters, it's a real mess because it gets around your props. If you're trying to row through it even, it's very difficult.
So just to clarify, there have been deaths in the world, not in Lake Tahoe.
Not Lake Tahoe.
As a result of Eurasian water milfoil. The fact that it gets entangled in boat props gets us back to the Tahoe Keys, where you segued off a few minutes ago. So here you are, you've been asked to take a look at the Tahoe Keys. You go from doing a survey of the Tahoe Keys to doing a lake-wide survey and say, hey, we can really make a difference here in terms of slowing down this Eurasian water milfoil. Then what?
Well, I came into that survey and the understanding of the conditions at Lake Tahoe with a lot of experience with all the various ways you can manage these plants. And there's a whole range from physically removing them by hand or with a machine, you know, harvesting them with a cutter of some kind, and using approved herbicides that EPA has approved to use. And so when we discovered this problem at Lake Tahoe and the potential for its spread, I did write a letter and recommend to the Lawton Water Board that they consider approving the use of herbicides for a small pilot test. Because my experience in other lakes has been that these things really work very well. And they don't have the disadvantage that you have with a mechanical cutter, which fragments the plant and causes these little fragments to spread around the lake and cause new populations to start. But the board wasn't ready to approve the use of herbicides then, and only recently have they looked at changing what's called the basin planner, their kind of their Bible for how they operate, to include an exemption for invasive species and the use of aquatic herbicides. So if that is approved by this summer, there's a chance that we'd have it, could be able to show that you could use these in a pilot test. But the difficult part before now certainly has been that the only thing you can do is use a physical method, either by hand or using some sort of a suction material, a dredge to remove it. And that's very time-consuming and very expensive.
Because we're talking about the aquatic environment, so it's basically weeding underwater.
It's weeding underwater, and then the other issue that has to do with the environment is that the Lahontan Water Board and other water boards certainly have certain criteria for water turbidity, for how much you can disturb the water and change its clarity. And certainly at Tahoe, that's a major concern. So even though you might be able to use some kind of mechanical device to suck up the plant and so on, if it creates too much turbidity, then you won't be permitted to do that. So there were some tests early on to see if you could do this, and in many cases you can do it if you're careful enough and not create a problem with turbidity. But the other issue is that the devices that were being used in the Tahoe Keys primarily, four large harvesters, were producing these very large numbers of fragments that the boats would take out with them attached to the keels and the rudders and so on and the props. So as long as that continued in that process, you're going to keep providing what we would call a propagule pressure. In other words, pieces of plants that could drift around the lake. And until you can reduce that population, it's going to keep happening.
This is the end of part one of the Tahoe Project interview with Lars Anderson. Listen to part two, in which Anderson talks about what people can do to help stop the spread of aquatic weeds.